So we're looking at not just providing housing. The idea was to provide, you know, services that veterans could utilize, but that the community could utilize as well.
A project for veterans housing in Haines moves along, and Senator Lisa Murkowski talks with Skagway residents and business owners. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. Senator Lisa Murkowski visited Skagway on Thursday, speaking at a Chamber of Commerce luncheon and meeting with community leaders in a roundtable discussion. During her speech at the chamber, Murkowski touched on several issues, including a new Environmental Protection Agency emissions rule that will soon go into effect for coastline communities. The senator also heard a slew of complaints from the community about the understaffing of the Skagway Post Office. Residents complained of slow mail delivery and said a single employee at the post office during summer months is not enough to handle the volume of mail. The complaints about the Postal Service were so prevalent that Murkowski and her staff promised to call the Alaska Postmaster General, based in Anchorage, immediately and arrange for him to visit the Skagway Post Office as soon as possible. The senator also heard a roundtable discussion at City Hall with Skagway municipal and community leaders. The White Pass and Yukon route announced at the meeting that it plans to expand rail service to accommodate more transporting of ore from Canada to Skagway. Murkowski is visiting Kluckwan and Haines on Friday. We'll have more on Murkowski's visits to Skagway and Haines on our Friday evening newscast on KHNS. In such a large state, it's always been difficult to provide certain services to all areas of Alaska, and veteran services fall within that category. The Veterans Administration has only one designated veterans home in the state, based in Palmer. That does little to help the more than 300 aging veterans in Haines and nearly 5,000 veterans in Southeast. But now, a nonprofit in Haines is bypassing the Veterans Administration and working to build veterans' preference housing on its own. The idea for a veterans home in Southeast Alaska came from Dr. Walter Soboloff, a well-known Tlingit elder and scholar who passed away last year. He had advocated for housing options that would allow veterans in the Southeast to stay close to their home communities. Representative Bill Thomas of Haines ran with the idea, and this year secured about $6 million from the legislature for the creation of veterans housing. Thomas enlisted the help of the Haines Assisted Living Corporation that runs the assisted living facility in town. HAL plans to build and operate the facility. Jim Studley, president of the HAL board, said the building will have approximately 12 one- or two-bedroom apartments. While preference will be given to veterans or veterans' families wanting to live there, Studley said the complex may also include non-veterans.
It's not going to be just for older veterans. It will be veterans' preference. In other words, I anticipate there will be veterans staying there, and in the beginning there might not be all veterans, but if a veteran comes and wants to stay there, they'll be put at the top of the waiting list as opposed to at the bottom. But we're not going to be able to afford to have it vacant.
The corporation will charge rent on a sliding income scale. Studley said it won't be part of the Veterans Administration Housing Voucher Program. That program is only available in a handful of communities. Another reason why Haines needs to provide more veteran services on its own, Studley said.
The voucher system is really, it's not a bad idea, but there's just not enough vouchers for the number of veterans available. I mean, it's kind of really funny because, I mean, there's thousands of veterans in Haines, in Alaska. I mean, literally thousands. And the number of vouchers that we have offered to these veterans that need it is pitiful. And then to say that they can only live in Anchorage or Juneau because that's where the office is at is ridiculous. But nonetheless, that's the rules that were adopted.
Studley said the corporation is also envisioning incorporating other veterans and community services at the building, like a physical and wellness center.
If we could expand the medical services for the community and include the veterans in the process, then... Gosh, that's what we're all about. So we're looking at not just providing housing. The idea was to provide, you know, services that veterans could utilize, but that the community could utilize as well.
He said it would be helpful if the VA decided to staff a service coordinator in Haines. The staff person could help veterans navigate what services locally they can access with their veterans' benefits. But Studley said the VA has not committed to staffing such a position, and he's not counting on it.
They're on their own agenda. We're on ours, and if our paths cross, great. If not, well.
Concern arose in the community when the idea of a veterans' home was first floated, and whether enough medical and mental health services were available in Haines for some veterans' needs. But Studley said, like the assisted living center, not everyone will be able to have their needs served at the veterans' housing.
We have to go to the one thing that we do at HAL, and that is if it's beyond our medical expertise in the community, then we can't help them. I mean, our rule of thumb is if that exceeds our medical level of expertise, it's not likely we're going to be able to help them. So are there enough services in Haines to help all veterans? No, there's not. And I don't think Haines will ever have that. But are there enough services to get them some of the benefits that they deserve? Then yeah, I think there are.
The HAL board enlisted the Juneau Economic Development Council to conduct a feasibility study for the home. The study found with the amount of veterans in the area, there is a need for veterans housing. Of the 350 veterans living in Haines, the study found about 160 are over age 65, and about 130 have a disability. The study also found several types of services in which the community was lacking, including senior meal services, in-home skilled nursing, a skilled nursing home, a medical social worker, general housing units, adult daycare, and transportation services. The HAL Corporation this year secured the purchase of the now-closed Thunderbird Motel, adjacent to the Assisted Living Center, for the site of the veterans' housing. Studley said once the legislative funds are released in July, the board will put out a request for proposal to demolish the Thunderbird and begin the planning phase of the new building. The board hopes to begin building next year. The building will be named after Dr. Soboloff and local veteran Howard McRae. The Haines Assembly on Tuesday began the process of changing harbor fees. The Harbor Committee has been working to revise the fee schedule that sets rates for things like moorage, boat launch use, and penalties. Committee Chair Norm Hughes said the rates were last changed about 5 years ago, and the new schedule is an attempt to make rates comparable to other harbors in Southeast.
Not necessarily catch up to other harbors' fees, but we want to be more in line because there is a cost. There's a cost for the harbor. And this last year, the Borough Assembly put the harbor, small boat harbor, in an enterprise fund, which means theoretically the harbor's supposed to pay for itself. And so fees should help reflect that.
The proposed rate changes penned by the committee increases many fees, including upping an annual launch ramp sticker from $50 to $100 and annual moorage rates increasing by $1 each foot. The increases did not sit well with Assemblyman Norm Smith. He said a 100% increase of annual ramp fees was too steep for a single-year leap.
Now it looks as though the enterprise fund of the boat harbor is trying to play catch-up to the catch-up and doubling the rates again for a launch ramp sticker to $100 is just out of the question. I think everybody agrees that there should be an increase, but not 100%.
But Hughes said considering the $20 million upgrades going into the harbor in the next couple years, the committee was trying to set rates that help pay for the cost of the harbor services.
We're just trying to have realistic fees based on the facilities we're offering people.
Assembly members amended the fee schedule, reducing the annual launch ramp fee from $100 to $65 and increasing the daily launch ramp fee in an effort to encourage purchase of annual ramp stickers. But more amendments could be made before the final version is voted on. Hughes said even with the increase in the fee schedule, the harbor budget will likely have a shortfall this year. He said with the turnover of the harbor master recently, the committee was not involved in the budget process this year.
And so this is just a starting point. Next year when the budget comes around, or before the budget comes around, hopefully the harbor committee will be more involved in the harbor budgets and work to see what kind of revenues we get from this new fee schedule and try and make adjustments and try and figure out our budgets better.
Hughes said the committee had several meetings on the fees, but few comments from the public. He said he hopes now that the matter is at the assembly level, more feedback will come from the public between now and during the second reading of the ordinance at the June 12th assembly meeting. This is Margaret Friednauer and Haynes with Jim Devereaux in Skagway for KHNS News. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. KHNS welcomes comments from the public on topics important to you. If you'd like to make a commentary to air on your local community radio station, check our website at khns.org under Community. Each listener commentary airs twice, once in the evening and once in the morning after your local news. Think of it as a letter to your neighbors. It's a KHNS commentary from listeners like you.